This has been quite the week, as many of you know. And when I started planning this service, I wanted to do some special things. And of course, when you make some changes to the way you normally do things, that adds time. And then the Lord has provided some unique ministry opportunities this week that we had to follow up with and do some ministry. So it has been a crazy week. And just this morning, actually, I just had to take time and just pray. And if you've been doing the 40 days, the second to last, day 39 of the 40 days, it was just talking about that this is the Lord's battle. And that's how we fight them. And so praying for just rest and lack of anxiousness. I don't know what the right word is. But and just be praying for families and lots going on in our area that we need to be praying for. So I want to encourage you guys to be praying for that. As I said, we're still in 40 days of prayer, and we're winding down that lesson today. And if you've been going with the church, Friday was the 40th day of prayer, of us praying together as not just a church and small groups, right, but with several other churches that were doing this. So hundreds and thousands of Christians praying together has just been a great time. It's been extremely awesome for me as your pastor, as each week I got to hear stories from some of you and some of your small group leaders about what God is doing in the small groups and in relationships and in the church. And it has been really, really cool. As we talk, sometimes we talk about being a pastor, and somebody says, I don't know how you do it. You have to deal with trouble and tragedy all the time. But we also get to see firsthand spiritual growth and people growing in Christ, and it makes it all worth it, right? It has been so encouraging these last 40 days to just hear about how people in groups together have been growing spiritually, and it's been just an awesome time. Spiritual growth is God's will for your life, right? It's called sanctification. And that's a big term we use, but really what it means is just growing spiritually. Babies are cute. Kids are cute, but a child that doesn't grow up, that ain't cute, right? It's actually a tragedy, and it's sad. It's like men that grow up and they neglect to be men. They neglect to take care of their families, to do childish things. That's a tragedy, right? That's when we're men, we grow up and we have a greater responsibility to our families and to be leaders and to our community, but some people don't do that. And we don't say, hey, that's cute when a 40-year-old acts like an 8-year-old. That's tragic, right? It's a problem, and there's absolutely nothing cute about it. But how about your spiritual growth, right? How have you grown since you became a follower of Christ? How have you grown in the last year? And some of you know my story. I was in the military, and I was at church, and this young man, the pastor came up, and he approached me, and he said, hey, man, how are you growing in the Lord? And I said, hey, I was baptized 10 years ago. I'm good, right? I hit the pinnacle. I was baptized. And I remember he looked at me and said, but how have you grown in the last year? And the fact that I couldn't answer it, he just looked at me. He's like, I'll see you at my office on Tuesday. And he was on a mission. And I can tell you, that guy has been one of the biggest disciplers in my life. And he's somebody I go to. That was almost 20 years ago. And I still meet with him monthly. And we sit down, and he helps me grow, and he challenges me and helps me grow every year, all right? But how are you more like Christ today than you were when you found Christ, than you were last year? How are you growing spiritually, all right? It is very possible to grow old and to never grow up, all right? You know that as well as I do. There's a lot of people who have known Jesus for a long, long time, and they are spiritually immature. Right? They're only drinking milk. They're not ready for the solid food of Scripture, right? To sit down and have a meal with Jesus. They're just drinking milk out of a sippy cup, right? They're growing old without growing up. God doesn't want us to be spiritual babies, right? He wants you to be spiritually strong. He wants you to be a man or a woman of God, right? Spiritual growth is God's will. In Ephesians, Paul says this, right? so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitfulness schemes. Right? In other words, you'll fall for anything if you're immature. If you don't know what you believe, you'll be tossed from side to side. Right? Taking away your foundation of belief will be like taking candy from a baby. And he goes on, Paul goes on to say this, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Right? We're not meant to be children. We're meant to grow up. We're meant to reflect Christ. So how do we do that? Well, God is the God of order, and he makes things, and he has principles, and he has laws, and he designed a universe built on principles of physics. And there's actually a book that I remember reading. It's called How Did God Do That? And it's a book that explains physics principles through theology. Really cool. Why does a baseball do this? And why does the earth bend? And how does our vision work? And how does the skies? And he takes biblical principles and explains the laws of physics. And just as there's physical laws that God invented for the universe, there are spiritual laws that God invented for our lives. And if you want to grow, you have to cooperate. You have to work within these laws. So today we're going to look at some of them this morning, and we're just going to go through three of them really quick, right? And as we look at them, I thought it would be encouraging to you to be able to hear some stories from our small groups. And so I have three people I'm going to invite up here now. And as we teach this lesson, as we go through it, I'm going to ask them to share some examples with us. You know how when they tell you that when you get married, sometimes it's those things that you loved about that person that frustrate you the most about that person? You guys heard that before? I love these guys, right? And one of the things I love about you guys is I know when I ask a question, I'm getting a straight truth. Man, I'm getting the answer. And then as I watch them walk up here, I'm like, oh, I don't know if this is good. And Graham, I know we can edit this if we need to, right? So I know we're going to get the straight truth here. So if you haven't started praying, do it now. I'm trying to rethink those questions and make sure they're the right ones. But this will be a good deal. But the first principle, the first one that we have to do is that the first law of spiritual growth is we grow when we feed on God's word. We grow when we feed on God's word. This book, this Bible is your soul food, right? You cannot be physically healthy if you eat junk food all the time, right? If you're reading comic books, magazines that deal with celebrities and things like that. You need to read the scripture, right? It harms your health if all you get spiritual truth is on Sunday mornings. If Sunday mornings is the only time that you read the Bible or open it up, you're not healthy, right? That's not enough to keep you healthy. You've got to eat a little bit every day. You've got to feed your soul, not just once a week, but every day you have to read through Scripture, right? If you don't, you're going to be spiritually malnourished. You're going to be a wimp. You're going to be small. You're going to be depleted. You're not going to have the strength that you need in order to do what God wants to do in your life. In Matthew 4, Jesus says this, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's what God wants you to feed on. He wants you to feed on his word, and he wants you to feed on it every day. And we want to help develop that habit in your life. And as a church, we're going to challenge you to do that. We've read through the book of Matthew as a church. We read through the book of Habakkuk as a church. We did 40 days where we're going to encourage you every day to get into the scripture. 10 or 15 minutes or 20 minutes. 5 more minutes than whatever you're doing right now. That's the answer. Take whatever you're doing right now and just add 5 minutes, and let's start there. I want Pete, I want you to share with us, as you went through these readings each day, what did God reveal with you? What did God show you?
Well, I mentioned to Kendrick, and then he asked me to share with you all that, I accepted Christ as my Savior when I was 11 years old, and I'm 63. So I've been around Scripture for a long time, but doing this every day, three things came out to me. And the first one is, in fact, all three of them are just very foundational. The first one is that God loves me. Ephesians 3:17 through 19 was a devotion on day 16. It's on page 78 of our booklet here. But it says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. May you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it. Frankly, it's just that's just a core concept for those of us who have chosen to follow Christ and to understand that God loves us. It's also just incredibly hard to believe that there's 3 billion people on the planet, that there are stars light years away, that he's the creation of all of that, creator of all of that, and yet he's a personal God. And he knows right now that the fires are alive again in Bell Canyon. And he knows the people whose lives are being affected. He knows the burdens on my heart, on my wife's heart. And the fact that he cares for me is just a stunning thing that was renewed. I knew it before, but it was refreshed. The other two, I'll make it quicker, but God forgives me. When I neglect, when I do things my own way, when I do not pay attention and just kind of go off on my own, it just seems like there should be a punishment. That's the human way the life works, that when you screw up, there's a consequence. And yet, you know, the scriptures that we read here, page 106, day 24, it was Psalm 32, 1 through 5, where he said, that, you know what, I the burden of my sin was on my heart, and I tried to ignore it, but then I brought it to God, and God forgave me. I feel forgiven. And for us to know that, at least for me, I believed it when I was 11, and now I guess that would be 41 years later, 42 years later. It was fresh. I was reminded of it, and I had a sense of a renewal of grace, if you will. And the last thing that came to me was the fact that my relationship with God is based on who God is, not me. And on day 34, we read Daniel 9:18, where he said, we come to you not because we are deserving, but because you are merciful. And the fact is that my relationship with God has to do with who God is, not anything that I do. So those are three things that I was reminded of and grateful for, and it was nice to have that fresh as compared to just something that's buried deep in the memory that I believe.
Awesome. Linda, we talked a little bit about some of the daily readings that impact on you and your group. Would you share some of those?
We talked about this morning, I asked the group what they would say of what the difference was of reading the Bible verses. And I'm holding this cute thing because Kendrick gave this to me this morning. I had said after this thing was done, I was going to cut my book up because I genuinely thought the scripture that Rick had chosen for the 40 days of prayer were extremely poignant into our lives. When I asked the group this morning what their response to that was, they all said that different things spoke to me in different ways. And what we found with the most interesting about that is so many of those 40 scripture verses that are contained in that, I've heard a gazillion times since I was 5 years old. And yet what one of them says to me said something completely different to Myrna or to Roxanne or to Sandy, whoever is in the thing, because that's how God speaks to you through his word. And so it might say one thing to Myrna, but it'll say something completely different to me because it's based on how he wants me to hear him that day.
And these are the benefits of reading the Word and diving into it every day. If we're not doing that, we don't have a firm grip on the Word, and it makes it easy for Satan to steal our hope and our joy and our promises and our peace. And all these things he can steal from us because we don't have a firm grip on the Word if we're not spending time in it daily. And why is that? I found these things. People forget 90% of everything they hear within 72 hours. Right? That means by Wednesday, you don't remember what I talked about. Right? You don't remember a word I said. You might remember a joke. You remember 5% of what I said on Sunday. Right? I hope you're taking notes. And I was actually just telling my daughter this morning, the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. All right, so when we're studying God's word and when we come together, we need to not just take notes, but then go back and look at them. Maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday before you forget everything, but go back and review those words, right? If you hear the word of God and then you read it a little bit every day, you get a better grip, and it makes it harder for Satan to steal that from you. If you hear it and you read it and you study it, then you get a stronger and a much better grip. And when you think about it, right? When you meditate on it, when you memorize scripture, your grip becomes impossible to be ripped from there, right? And you think about, what does this mean in my life? Now that you've got a grip, it's not going to be taken from you. And you have those foundations to read and to study. So, number one, get in the Word every day. 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Spend time in the Word every day. Number two law we're going to talk about is of spiritual growth is we grow when we actually practice spiritual disciplines. Right? We don't just know them, but we do them. We grow when we develop these spiritual disciplines. I can't overestimate the importance of developing good spiritual habits in your life and then actually doing them. Now, there's a lot of habits that you need to grow in your spiritual life. There's dozens of them. Some we've just talked about, like reading God's word, right? Studying God's word and praying and meditating on God's word. But fasting, right? Fasting is also a spiritual discipline. And as a small group, I'm going to have Norm share with us because I know your group. And this is just full disclosure. Norm is in my small group. So I'll be able to correct some things if I need to. But I know we did fasting as a group, and we actually had some good conversations about it. And I would just like you to share when we did it, fasting. What did that mean to you? What were your thoughts?
Well, when you first brought it up and you challenged us to do it, my first thought was, I don't want to do that. I've never really fasted, and I didn't really know what I was going to experience. As a matter of fact, I asked the pastor, I said, well, you know, can I drink Diet Coke during that time? And, you know, it's funny, when we first brought up the subject of fasting, the first thing I thought about was, well, you can't eat. And that was a big deal. You know, the night before, I went to bed and said, okay, don't forget, you know, tomorrow you can't eat. And in our small group, we have a gentleman who's a deacon here. And he said something that really hit me. He said, it's not about food. It's not about not eating. It's about having a better communication with our Lord. And that's what fasting is about. It's not about not eating. It's not about, you know, depriving yourself. It's about having a better way of communicating with God. And if you think about it that way, it's a heck of a lot easier to do it. And from now on, when I think of fasting, that's what I'm going to think about. That's what I'm going to dwell on. Not the not eating part, but the communicating with God.
And we talk about spiritual disciplines, and just being in there, we had a person in our group who said, I've grown up in the church. I've never even heard of fasting. Never even heard of why we need to do that. And so it just opened up some doors.
And not only did we have people like myself who'd never done it, we had a couple people in the group who said they've been doing it for, you know, 20 years or more. And that's one of the benefits of being in a small group, I think, is the fact that there's so many different kind of people. And people like me can learn a heck of a lot from people who have experienced these things.
And how do we develop habits in life? Well, just like everything else, practice and repetition, right? And we don't get credit for knowing what the spiritual disciplines are. We get credit for doing them, right? A lot of us can list them off. But if we read in the Gospel of John, when John washes the feet of his disciples, right? He's demonstrating humility and servanthood and love, and he was a perfect example. But if you remember what he said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them, right? If you do them, not if you watch somebody else or say, oh, that's the pastor's job, or that's the small group leader's job, or that's the ministry leader's job. No, no, no. Blessed are you if you do them, right? If you practice them. You don't get God's blessing for knowing the right thing to do. You get God's blessing for doing the right thing, right? For practicing the right way and for making it a habit in your life. The way you build any habit in your life is two ways, right? Through repetition and through practice. And I remember growing up, we used to say practice makes perfect, but my kids are correcting me now, and they're actually right. They say practice makes permanent. Right? Practice makes permanent. If we're practicing the wrong things and not doing the right things, that does not help us. But practice makes permanent. Some of you have had spiritual habits that maybe you practice before you went on a mission trip. Right? And the leader of that mission trip said, hey, before we go, you need to memorize this passage of Scripture. Right? Some of you have mission leaders that you need to memorize this book. And now we don't do that. Maybe you haven't spent time in the Word, or maybe you haven't spent time memorizing it as you once did. Right? What happens when you practice the good habits, the spiritual habits, is you grow. In Hebrews 5:14 it says, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have, and notice this, the powers of discernment trained by constant practice. By keep doing it. That's called a habit. That's called a spiritual discipline. That's called practicing a spiritual discipline. It says that they have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And lots of times we get in discussions, and even as a pastor, somebody's going to come and ask me a question, and I'm like, I don't know. Right? And then I go to the Scriptures, or I go to somebody else, and there's words of life. There's words that help address problems, and knowing those words and meditating on those words and knowing them is a great spiritual discipline that helps us in life. Tom Brady, one of the most successful quarterbacks in the NFL. And I'm a Joe Montana fan, and I still say Tom Brady's one of the most successful quarterbacks, right? He's the oldest player in the NFL right now. Tom Brady's the oldest player, and he is currently not only the best now, but maybe the best ever. And how in the world does Tom Brady stay the best in the entire NFL? This elite group of athletes, right? He has team members on his team that weren't even born when he started playing in the NFL. Right? It's not a secret. He's written a book about the discipline, right, that it takes to be at this elite level. And guess what? Not only does the average person say, oh, I'm not going to be that disciplined, there's many NFL players that say, oh, I'm not going to be that disciplined. Right? But Tom Brady talks about the disciplines in life and sticking to them and how they've helped him grow as an NFL player and as a Christian, a follower of Jesus. If we look at some of the disciplines in our life, are we willing to be that disciplined so that we can grow into the likeness of Christ? Are we willing to dive into the Word? Are we willing to pray? Are we willing to meditate? Are we willing to meet with others and bear our burdens? Are we willing to meet with others and share our struggles so that they can pray with us? Are we willing to be that disciplined? How disciplined are you in growing spiritually? How disciplined do you want to be in growing spiritually? So the first thing we have to do to grow spiritually, we have to feed on God's Word, right? Second thing, we have to practice spiritual disciplines. And number three, the third law of spiritual growth is that we grow when we help each other grow, right? We grow when we help each other grow. You can't grow to spiritual maturity by yourself, right? It isn't going to happen. You can't grow to be the person that God wants you to be by yourself. You need me, and I need you, right? I need other people in my life. When it talks about iron sharpens iron, I need other people to challenge me, to hold me accountable. God wired us in such a way that we don't grow to maturity by ourselves. By yourself, you're going to be lonely and stunted, spiritually wimpy, a spiritually weak person. The more you involve other people, the more likely you're going to be stronger in the Lord. We grow together, right? We're better together. We're a family. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paul needed other people in his life. We need other people in our life. God has wired us this way. And I know, Pete, you were having several small groups you were involved with initially, right? But you went to one small group. And share with us some of the things about being in that small group that has helped you.
The group that I joined up with was Chris Harden's group on Sunday morning, and they've been meeting for a long time, for probably, I guess, 5 years. They meet Okay, anyways, they've been meeting for a long time, 10 years, 15 years. Okay, 15 years they've been meeting, and I attached myself to that group for this 40 days experience thing. In that group, there were three couples that I knew very, very, very well. Obviously, Chris and Alicia, the Eddies, and also the Bernardos. But also then Bob said, hey, can I be a part of your group? I had visited with Bob a few times out on the patio, but I didn't really know him that well. But I got to tell you, I also got to know Mara and Joseph Scheib. And I found out that we have a celebrity in our congregation because Joseph is the grandson of Earl Scheib. So any of you, and I have family members who had their car painted at Earl Scheib, and he's still in the car painting business. So the fact is that I'd seen them, and I said, hey, you know what? I don't know you. And they go, well, we've been going here for a couple of years. And I go, I know what you look like. And then they started sharing. And frankly, it was joyful to now I feel like I know them. And I want to let you know that Mara shared something one of the weeks that was very, very spiritually encouraging. That God did something in her life, and it was not only a blessing to her, but she shared it with everyone in our group. And it was just kind of like, you know, God did something there. And her testimony of God being real in her life was a blessing to me, as well as the other people. I think everybody else was blessed. I'm seeing a few heads nod. But the fact is to get together and to share stories and share experiences and to share what God's doing in our lives was just a good experience.
There's 56 one another's in the Bible. 56 places where God commands us to do something with one another, to help one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to share with one another, to serve one another. And those things are really hard to do in a group like this, in a group this size. But in a small group, we're able to do that. We're able to build each other up and encourage people. And some of the things that Pete just said would not have been shared in a group this size. Right, 56th time, God says that the only way you're going to grow is in the community. The way that you're going to grow is through relationships and through doing life with people. And Pete was in a little bit of a different situation because a majority of those people you knew and you may have known for years. Norm took a step of faith, and we were kind of joking about this. The people he knew in the group was not many, and he hadn't been in that small group long, right? Those new people in a new time frame and a new group. Share some of the one another, some of the experiences you had.
Well, we didn't really know anyone in the group except the pastor. And so it was nice to get to know people. My wife and I have been coming to this church for about 15 years. And fortunately, I've met a few really wonderful people, like Pete. But there's a lot of people. I see them every Sunday. Maybe I'll say hi to them. Maybe I'll shake their hand. I don't really know them. But when we're in a small group, you get to know not only people, but their stories. And some of their stories are very inspirational. We had one gentleman in our group, I'm not going to mention his name, but he was sharing with us some of the things that he's gone through with his health over the past many, many years. And to see this man, you would never know it. He always has a smile on his face. He always shakes your hand. He's always just so upbeat. And it really strengthens you and strengthens your faith to know what people can go through when they have faith. And just to hear other stories, people from other countries who came here to find freedom, who came from a land where they have no freedom, and they just want to come here to live free and to be able to worship the God that they want. And that's something that you could come in here every day for 10 years and see them and not know. And so it's really a blessing to be in a small group. You learn a lot about people. You learn a lot about God. You learn a lot about yourself. So we really enjoyed it.
And just hearing stories really challenges our faith.
Yeah.
And we're hearing other people's stories. And God has just used those relationships to connect us and to help grow us. Right? And we talk about why is being in a small group important. It's for a lot of those reasons that these two gentlemen just talked about. It's good for our spiritual growth. One of the things is God also wants us to learn how to love, right? One of the one another's I intentionally left out is it talks about we have to patiently love one another, right? Patiently endure one another. And so sometimes when my wife says, her favorite scripture is fathers don't exasperate your children. I say, oh, I'm teaching them how to love patiently, right? But that's one of the things. There's just people in a group, and we just learn how to love as a family, just like we have to do with everybody else. We can't learn to love other people if we live in a cave. If we don't interact with other people, we can't do that. And so being in a small group helps us to love one another, helps us to grow in our love. You know, there's going to be people in that group that you're going to disagree with. There's going to be people in that group that are different than you. But we're united by our relationship in Christ, and we're united by who Christ is in our life, right? And there might be some people in your group who are kind of irritable. And you might be trying to think of who that is, and if you can't think of it, I bet you I know who it is. Right? I bet you the other people can figure it out. I love that laugh back there. You can't talk. But you need people in your life, people that sometimes think differently than you. Maybe people that have a different perspective than you. Maybe somebody that can get out of the middle of the mess that you're in and give you a perspective from Scripture on what you're facing. And they can teach you, right? They teach you to be giving, or they teach you to think of other people, right? Or they help you to refocus back on Scripture and not so much on yourself. Now, Linda, your group is a little bit different than everybody else's because you guys have been together for a little bit. I don't want to say how long. I don't want to give up age or anything like that. But a long time, right? And so you guys have a different ability through relationships that's been together for years, almost 20 years, some of that core group. What are some of the benefits of that group?
Ours would be over 20 years because I am in it 20 years. And Sandy and Sue and a couple other people have been in there much longer. And I came to Miss Peggy's group because my son at the time when we came to the church wanted to go to Sunday school, Miss Lucy's Sunday school class, because Miss Lucy's Sunday school class was the coolest thing on earth. And so I figured, well, I've got to bring him anyhow, so I may as well go somewhere. So, and I loved Peggy, so that's why I came into her Bible study, so Ian could go to Sunday school as well. And over the years, what I learned from Miss Peggy was the same thing. One of the attributes that I just admire so much in Melissa, Kendrick's wife, is they are real people with real problems that are doing life. And it has been such a blessing to be with the women in my group because we are real people with very real problems and real ugly lives. And we are very, some are open, people are open about it, and others are not as open. It's not a mandatory thing, you have to spill your guts on the table. But one of my favorite stories that I shared with Kendrick was Roxanne, who's one of our newer members who came to the group. She sat real quiet for a couple weeks. And after listening to all of us, she finally spoke up and said, "You know something? Y'all are just as screwed up as I am." And I said, "Yes, yes we are, and that's why we get along so well." Because people like have this perception that just because you can come to church and wear decent clothes and jewelry that you're this nice church lady that everything goes perfect for. And I can attest to you that there is nothing further from the truth than that, because when we come together every Sunday morning and pray for each other, we have been through some unbelievably yucky things over the years with our families, with our work, with our outside lives. And it has been such a blessing to say, someone else has my back on this one. I can be pouring my heart out to God, but at the same time, I know that Sue and Sandy and Roxanne and Myrna and all, the whole list of the girls in the room, at some point during the week, God is putting me on their heart, and they are entering heaven's gate on my behalf. And that's something that doesn't take 20 years to necessarily attain. Some people, like Norm is saying, just by coming in and learning more about people is an opportunity for you to connect with someone that's just here, like he said, something encouraging. It's like, gosh, I've been through that. You know, that makes me feel better to know that this too shall pass. Someone can say that 1,000 times, but the idea that someone else has been through that same awful trial is so encouraging to hear it. And it's like, I just need to breathe because I need to wait for this one to go past as well.
We need each other, and in small groups it's highlighted as we are doing life together and we're sharing the yucky experiences of life. And it's sad in a way that some people think that they come to a church this size and that they're the only ones that are facing ugliness, that they're the only ones that maybe have kids that are rebelling, or maybe they're the only ones struggling with some addiction, or They're the only ones that are stuck in a horrible relationship or horrible job. And when we start talking, we realize that there's people in there that can help us, that God has put people strategically in our lives to help us through those times, and how important those relationships are. And here's what the Bible says in Hebrews 10. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And just being able to support and to love one another, and just the important role that we have in each other's lives, that we have in our groups, that we have in accountability, that we have in maturing, that we have in supporting and encouraging each other in the Word. And spiritual growth, it's not automatic. As I said before, you can grow older without growing up, right? Growth is not automatic. But I want to ask you a personal question. I started off with this. As a year from today, how are you going to be different? A year from today, what spiritual discipline are you going to improve? Are you going to focus on? Are you going to pray to God that He will help you grow it? Right? Do you intend to be stronger? Or are you just happy being where you are? Do you have no desire to know God more next year than you know Him right now? Right? Do you want to be more mature or not? Are you willing to be disciplined to grow in your relationship with the Lord? A year from now, some of you are going to be more spiritually stronger. Some of you are going to reflect Jesus to your community more. Some of you are going to be more spiritually mature people, that God's going to use you in a powerful way. However, some of you are going to be the exact same a year from now that you are right now. You're still going to be walking around in diapers and drinking milk out of a baby cup, and that's not the plan for you. Right? Do you really want to grow? And if so, how disciplined are you willing to be? What are you willing to do to grow? Do you want growth, or do you just want convenience in life? Here's what God says. He puts it pretty bluntly in Jeremiah 29. God says this: "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." So are you willing to seek Him with all of your heart, or are you willing to look for Him when it's convenient, when you have nothing else going on? And as your pastor and as somebody who loves you, man, I want you to grow, right? And there's several ways that you can grow. Right? Being connected to a small group is a good way to grow and to stay accountable and to have people walk with you in your spiritual growth. And as some of our groups are finishing this series, right, many of them are having Thanksgiving and Christmas fellowships. This is a great time to join a group, right? If you're not in a group, on the back of your sheet, there's some names, there's some groups, and you can look and seek those groups out, hook up with them during a fellowship, right? There's food at fellowships. We're Southern Baptist. Just call them, say, hey, I want to join to your group, and this is a perfect time for you to join a group. December 1st, we're doing a church fellowship. Come to the church fellowship. There will be small group leaders there. There will be people there. Get to know. They don't even have to be a small group leader. If you get to know Norm, say, Norm, I want to be in your small group. You're in, right? Our small group leaders ask, well, what's the max number we can have? There's always room for one more, right? We always can fit one more in that small group. If you're not in a small group, I want to encourage you to come and get connected. Come to December 1st. It's a fellowship. It's intended for us to get to know each other and to build relationships and to get you into a small group, to get you into a church community. And what are you going to do to grow in your walk with Christ this year? Right? If you've journaled with us over the last 40 days and that's your first time doing it, why stop? Keep journaling. Continue to feast on His Word through the reading, studying, and meditating on His Word. Just take a small step. Say, you know what? We've done it for 40 days. I'm going to do it through Christmas. I'm going to do it through the new year. Right? And continue to journal. If you need a journal, we'll find you one. Right? But continue to feast and dwell on His Word. Is there a spiritual discipline that you need to start practicing again, just like you did for the first time several years ago? Is there some spiritual discipline that you were really good at, that you were growing in your relationship that you made strong that for some reason you have stopped? What's wrong with restarting that discipline today? What's wrong with saying, oh, I got to get back to journaling, I got to get back to praying, I got to start fasting again? What's wrong with starting today? And if you're not in a small group, why are you satisfied with being a malnourished Christian? Where's the group of believers, the accountability, people that hold you accountable, people that help you grow, people that do life with you? Who are those people that you're practicing the 56 one another commands with? If you're not in a small group, I want to urge you to get connected and to find a small group. How are you going to grow this year? Which spiritual discipline are you going to focus on this year? Right? We've got some time for you to pray about. New Year doesn't start for like 7 weeks. So keep journaling for the next 7 weeks. Keep reading your word for the next 7 weeks. Write on your sheet, hey, this year I'm going to grow, and write down that spiritual discipline and how you're going to do it and what you're going to do. That is a good question that you should be thinking about. The most important question that you're going to ask this year is, how am I going to grow my relationship with Christ? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your scripture.